We're going to go right to the scriptures this morning. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, it's the commissioning of the prophet. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then Jeremiah said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to him, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go everywhere that I send you, and whatever I command you to speak, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share about the calling, about our destiny, about your plans and purposes you have for us. Father, you called this man to be a prophet to the nations, to be a mouthpiece, to go forth and speak your word, to be an example, not only in speech, but in lifestyle. Father, in this room today, there are many men and women that you have called to do specific things. God, we all have a destiny. We all have a purpose and a plan in you. And God, today I pray that those who have not fully understood their call, there would be a divine revelation to what they're called to do, what they're called to speak, where they're called to go. Father, let us get a glimpse of the destiny that lays ahead of us as your sons and your daughters in this place, and those who are even watching online right now. Father, just as you said with Jeremiah, you will give us the words to speak. You will protect us. You will hedge us with your mighty hand of protection. You will be with us. You will lead and guide us. Father, let your word speak revelational truth to us this morning. Let us not go out of this place continually making excuses for that which you've called us to do on why we shouldn't or we can't. Today is a day of transformation. Today is a day of change that has begun in the spirit realm that will affect us in our physical being this day. We receive all that you have for us. In your precious name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated as you give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. And we can dismiss our Sunday school kids as well to our Sunday school department. And so, well, good morning and welcome to our 10 o'clock service this morning. It's great to have you with us. If you are new here, we would love to connect with you on a more personal level. In the pew, there's a card there you can fill out telling us who you are. And if you have any questions or prayer requests, you can put that right on there. And one of our pastors this week will get a hold of you and answer any questions you may have. Today, we are going to be looking in the book of Jeremiah about the prophet Jeremiah, a man who was called by God, who had a specific purpose to do a specific thing. He had a destiny set ahead of him, and God called him that day, but God didn't just call him, God then would empower him and give him all the tools that were needed and necessary to move forward. Sometimes we hear the call of God and we think we can't do it because we don't have what is needed. We must understand that God doesn't call those who are fully equipped. God calls those that he wants to call, and then he will equip those to give them what is needed to fulfill the call and the purpose and the plan that he has for us. And so today we will look at Jeremiah. Understand that when Jeremiah was called, he was called, they believed, when he was in his late teens to early 20s. So I understand when he said, "I'm just a child." But the reality is, God doesn't see the age when God has a call and purpose in your life. We can never say we're too old to do something for God, and we should never say we're too young to do something for God. Because if you got a prayer request, find a young kid, a 9 to 10-year-old kid that has great faith. Let him lay his hands on you and pray over you, because childlike faith is amazing. It's something supernatural and special because they haven't been muddled. They haven't been twisted and turned by all these other teachings and philosophies that are out there. They're pure. and they just know that Jesus loves them and that God can do supernatural things. So let's not look at someone being too old or too young for a call of God in their lives. If God's called us, which he has called all of us to something, we just have to discover what that something is, what that plan is, what that purpose is. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling in what you feel God called you to do, let me ask you to go before God and say, God, is this of you? Because sometimes we feel in our own wants and desires that it's a call from God, but the reality was a call from me. It was what I saw me doing, not what God was calling me to do. So it's been a struggle. It's been a battle. We're not going further or advancing the way we should be because it's a, do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so when we look at this passage, we see the actual call, the call of Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the one who would bring a message of judgment about all the sin in the land, but would bring hope and would bring a hope that if they would turn, then God would do something, that God would move in a mighty, spectacular way. See, sometimes we have to be told or things must be revealed to us about what's wrong that we can correct them, that God can do something the way God wants to do something. Y'all with me? It's been a great day. I said earlier, I have two Bibles today, just so you all know. You're noticing that already. Because I was feeling double anointed this morning. I'm going to preach from two Bibles today because I'm all ready to go. You'll see this was coming out in a couple minutes. And so here Jeremiah was, and the Lord, the Bible says, formed him and set him apart and empowered him for a specific call and task. I declare today that we must understand that God has called you, that God has set you apart, and he formed you in the way that he sees fit to fulfill whatever task, whatever calling that he has for your life. Now, understand he will equip you along the way. He will give you what is needed. And so when I say he formed, it means that he created you and I just as Jeremiah in a certain way that he saw fit. And he created us before we were even in our mother's womb, the Bible says, that he knew us from the beginning of time. And that he knew, and he even says that it talks about how in Psalm 159 that how our days were marked and numbered prior to even being born. That's how much God knows you and knows about you. And so he was created and fashioned in a particular certain way for this call that God would place on his life. And he set Jeremiah apart. In other words, he had marked him for a specific use. You are marked for a specific use for the kingdom of God. It's not for the glory of self, but for the glory of God. It's not for the glory and the gain of wealth for our own self. There's nothing wrong with wealth. If you have it, awesome. Ask God how you should use it. Ask God how you should bless other people. Ask Pastor how you should use it here. I will help you. You get not because you ask not. But God sets you. You are fingerprinted with the fingerprint of God. And there's no fingerprint alike. We have an amazing worship team, amazing worship couple. Do you know that they're married and they have an awesome family? They're both anointed, but they have different fingerprints of God on their lives. One can't be the other. The other can't be the other. God fingerprints us with a call and a purpose and a plan. And yes, there could be multiple people on the platform. There could be multiple people, but we're not the same. And we can't get caught up in trying to be like somebody else. I've done that before. I tried to be like the preachers. I tried to be like a T.D. Jakes. You think I'm kidding? Trust me. Open your Bibles to the book of John 3:16. For God so loved. You got to understand. I tried it. And I can do it in the flesh. But I can't do it under the anointing because that's not my fingerprint. That's not my call, the way God called me to preach the gospel. And so we need to understand, Jeremiah was called to be a mouthpiece to to present the gospel of Jesus. You're called with a plan and purpose in this house today. But we must discover it, or if you know it, we must begin to push forward and seeing it come to pass. And so our call is there. And I love it because they're specific. They're detailed for you. That's why it's important to get a journal. I love technology. I'm not a big technology fan. People will laugh when I say that. I do some technology, but I'm still old school. I think y'all should get a journal. Go buy yourself a journal and then write things down that the Lord shows you and tells you. Because you have it right there to open back up, to read over, to pray over, to declare into the heavenlies what God was speaking into your life and into your call and into your purpose. We all have one, and it's very specific. It's very tailored for who you are as an individual. Please do not try to live off of somebody else's calling or destiny, because you have your own, and yours is greater for you than you trying to live off of theirs. And so Jeremiah was called that day for a specific task. And when you're called, accept it cheerfully. Don't fight it. Say, God, all right, I hear you. I receive it. And when you receive it and accept it cheerfully, then to begin to move in it with diligence. Begin to press through. Now don't receive it and write it in your journal and then go set on your bookshelf and totally forget about it. Write it down. Visit it in your prayer time. Accept it cheerfully with gladness and joy, saying, God, thank you so much that you have called me for this specific reason, for this specific purpose. My destiny I see before me is amazing and awesome. And I understand, God, it's not going to be easy. I understand that I'm not fully equipped, and that's okay because you will equip me. And I understand that there may be a road bump or two on this journey that you've called me to, but I do know because you're omnipresent, you'll always be with me. Because your Holy Spirit has filled this temple, you'll always empower me and give me strength and encouragement needed. Write it down, read it, go over it, accept it, and then begin to step into it. See, I could have accepted the call and the destiny and the purpose of my life of being a pastor and did nothing about it. And talked about it. Yeah, I'm going to be a pastor someday. I'm going to preach the gospel someday. Yeah, well, you know, you're 52 years old and you still haven't done anything about it. No, I accepted it. And then I began to do what was needed to get to where I am. And I'm not even remotely close to where God wants me to be, I believe, in my own personal destiny and journey. And if he's given you, or if you haven't received the specific call, understand this. If you don't know exactly what your purpose is, or the call, Jeremiah knew because God was very plain. You're going to be an ordained prophet to the nations. There was no mixing words with God and Jeremiah that day. You're going to be a mouthpiece. You're going to open your jaws, Jeremiah, and what comes out of your mouth is going to be the words that I placed in you, because Jeremiah, you saw my hand touch your mouth, and you know that I'm putting the words in you. So he specifically knew what he was called to do. Now, if you don't know what you're called to do, then very simply do this. Lord, what is my purpose? God, what is my call? God, what have you created and formed me to do or to become? For your glory, for your kingdom's growth, what is it, God? And then wait and read scripture and pray. Now, in the meantime, while you're waiting and you're reading scripture and you're praying, then what we must continue to do is we must continue to fulfill the main commission of a believer. You know, just because we don't have the specific, as believers, we have a mission. You know that, right? We have a call. Our call is to love God with all that we are. Our call is to serve God with all that we have. Our call is to love others around us, even when they're not lovely. Our call is to serve those around us, even when they seem to be unservable in our own eyes. But we have to understand it's not our eyes, but it's God's eyes. And so we must live the common mission to love, to obey, to serve not only God, but others. And in the midst of doing that, we're still asking God, what's my specific task? God, what's my specific goal? God, show me, give me a glimpse of the destiny.
Give it to me.
You know, sometimes God doesn't give it to us all together at one time. You know that, right? You know that, right? Do you want to know why? Well, if you're like me, you want to know why? Because the minute God shows me something like to that dimension, I'm off and running. And then what happens with me a lot of times, or what happened, because I'm very cautious now, is I would begin to try to do it in my own strength, in my own knowing, in my own understanding, in my own education. And God's like, look at you, crazy one. What's wrong with you? That's you saw the big picture, but you're going about it the wrong way. That's not how I want you to get from point A to point B. So let me back you up a couple steps and straighten you up and get you going again. We all got a call. We all got a purpose. And so here we see what that was with Jeremiah. But I so love God because he gives us the power to do it. See, Jeremiah, like many of us, myself included, we've said these things. Oh, Lord God, I can't speak well. I can't. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too... Y'all know where I'm going, right? They're called excuses. We've all been there. Don't get upset about it. We've all been there. And some of the excuses in our heads sounded really valid. I mean, they were awesome. I pre-planned it, and I was like, oh, man, this is a good one. He's going to accept this one. Oh, Holy Father, this is why I cannot goeth where you calleth me to go. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Who are you? You so forget before you were even in your mother's womb, I formed you, created you, anointed you, set you apart, sanctified you, called you to a plan and purpose, and you're telling me you can't? Whoo! Wow. And when you're going, I'm going to empower you. See, what happens is we have these feelings of inadequacies, of not having the ability or the training or the experience in those calls that God is placing in us. And so we fall back into fear mode. We fall back into, oh my gosh, I can't do this mode. But see, today, that as Pastor Shirley would say, that stinking thinking stops today. You are a son and daughter of God. You have everything needed for advancement. You have everything needed to get you to tomorrow. It's all found in him and through him and in the word and in that divine relationship that you have with him. And so we have these feelings. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Thought he was just too young. He thought he was inexperienced. Didn't know what to say. But God promised, you know what? I'm going to be with you, Jeremiah. I'm going to deliver you. And he says the same thing for you and I today. And so God promised to take care of him. Promised to not... It says that he would deliver. There wouldn't be imprisonment. He would set you free and set him free. And he made all these promises to Jeremiah. And he makes those to you and I today. The same promises. So if that call seems really big, get excited. Say, thank you, Jesus, that that's a big call. Thank you that my destiny is so big in front of me. Thank you for the purpose that you called me to. And thank you, God, that I know that I can't do it alone. That in order for this to happen, I'm going to need all that you have for me. I'm going to need you leading me. I'm going to need you at my sides fighting for me. I'm going to need you doing all that is needed in my life. And I surrender all that I have to see this come to pass. And see, Jeremiah had these crazy excuses. He says, I'm just a child. It wasn't that he was a baby. We know roughly he was in his late teens to mid-20s. So to call himself a child would say, you know what, oh, he seems like he's a baby. But that's not true. What it was he was saying that I'm a child in the sense I'm not experienced. As we get older, we feel more experienced, right? But Jeremiah was like, oh, you know what? I'm too young. And then he said, I can't speak. It wasn't that he couldn't verbally communicate. It wasn't that he couldn't put sentences together or write down paragraphs. It wasn't that he couldn't convey a thought through his words coming out of his mouth. It's that he didn't have the ability, what he thought, was to speak the words that God wanted him to speak or to share, because he said he lacked eloquence and the speaking ability because he felt he wasn't a good public speaker. And God's like, oh, I got that one covered too, buddy. That's what God does. We make the list, and we can go down the list. Oh, I got that one for you. I got that one for you. You're covered. You're covered. And that's what God was doing with Jeremiah. And some of us today, we might struggle like Jeremiah. See, and what happens is we offer great excuses. And they're good. They're legit. Do you know some of our excuses are legit? Like I look at a lot of school teachers here. If a kid comes in and is like, yeah, the dog ate my paper. Well, that's such an old one. But actually, I know someone that happened to, and they brought half the paper back. And the mother said, I know it sounds weird, but the dog did eat his paper. But we make excuses. And some of them are so, like, out there. But some sound legit. I mean, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nation or nations. And he's like, man, I'm young, and I've never really had a public platform to speak off of. So that's a pretty good excuse, right? Moses is like, whoa, not me. I have a lot of issues, and even Moses says, who am I to go? I'm of slow speech. And see, what they were doing was they were talking about their weaknesses and their incompetencies on how they saw themselves. And that's the big issue, is how they viewed themselves. And how we view ourselves can affect our call and can affect our mission and where God wants to take us by how we view ourselves and not how God's viewing us. Gideon used the excuse of lack of social position. You call me mighty man of valor, but don't you know that I am of the weakest clan and the smallest clan, and you want me to do what, God? Oh, Lord, I am so tiny and unknown and not of great power and might. And God's like, I called you. And though you may feel that way, you're not. Though others may see you that way, I don't. We use all types of other things. And the reality is, God doesn't see you the way you view yourself. We stand in front of the mirror and we look at ourselves. And we can begin to pick out what's wrong according to how we feel. We all do it. Don't be ashamed of it, because today I'm going to pray for you. That we don't do that anymore. That we don't stand in front of the mirror and examine ourselves and pick out every flaw. You are created fearfully and wonderfully, the Word says, in the image of God. No longer standing in the mirror going, well, I don't have this, and this is broken in me. If it's broken, God can fix it. But I don't, but I can't, but. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are fearfully and wonderfully created. You are fingerprinted with the fingerprint of God all over you. You have a call and you have a purpose. And ahead of you lies your destiny that is a God-given destiny. It's time that we, as His children, step into it. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you may be. It's there for you. We must step into it. We must step into it. And so Jeremiah's called to this. I want to read something to you from my second Bible. I want you to listen to these words. This is Psalm 139. Y'all with me? This is Psalm 139. Psalm of David. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know when my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. See, the first six verses I read to you is about God knows everything about us. He knows every detail about our lives. We may even think that we're trying to hide something. We can't hide a thing from God in any way, shape, or form. He knows everything about us. He knows the number of hair on our head. He knows he created the fingerprint that's like nothing else, like the snowflake. There's not two alike. And then it goes on and says that I can never escape from your spirit. Now we're talking about the presence of God. He's omnipresent. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. Verse 11 says, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made, and this is now about you. This is all about you and I. Here we go. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. We have to see ourselves as marvelous. We have to look in the mirror and what we see as faults or deficiencies and say, no, I am marvelously created. I am marvelously. Now, we may, you know, need to work through some things to get, but I am marvelously created in your image, oh God. And it goes on and it says this. He says, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. And I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. When you saw me in the womb being created in seclusion, every day of my life was marked ahead of me. Because you've called me and you've purposed me. He says, how precious. Oh, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God. Do you ever play that game? How much do you love me? Do you care about me? How much do you really care? How much do you love? What do you really think of me? You ever play that game with someone? Well, here's what God says. How precious are your thoughts of me? They cannot be numbered. Come on. Come on, somebody needs to hear that today. God highly thinks so much about you, they can't even be numbered. Oh. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Jumping over to verse 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow. You are important. I am important. I've been fearfully and wonderfully created. I am made and created by the hand of God Almighty. And my life has purpose. My life has destiny. My life has a call, and so does yours. And you were created the same way. And he thinks of you so big that we can't possibly fathom the thoughts that God has about us and the love that God has for us and the grace and mercy God wants to pour all over us. we're called. We have purpose. And so as we look at that passage, we see the incredible nature of how God did it and what God thinks. We need to know it's important for us. And so when Jeremiah was giving his objections, I love God. God stressed a few things to him in those scriptures. He stressed that, Jeremiah, when you go, we must understand this. Because Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority has been given to me, now therefore you go. He gave us the authority to go. And I love this because with Jeremiah and his excuses, God is trying to stress a few things. Jeremiah, you go under my authority, with my authority, to be that mouthpiece. We need to go that when we fulfill the call and the mission and the vision that God has, we're not doing it with honor in our own authority, but we're doing it because it was God's authority and God's calling. And how many of you know that when someone knows they have authority, they act different than when someone doesn't know they have authority, right? I saw that happen recently in a store. Maybe you've seen it before where someone's arguing with a cashier, okay, or someone that's checking out, and the person's belittling and berating this person at the thing, and the person's trying to answer and trying to respond, but then all of a sudden the manager shows up. All of a sudden game changes, doesn't it? Totally changed. I watched the manager walk over to someone recently and said, this is the reason why, and gave them four reasons and says, and if you don't like it, you can leave and not shop here anymore. Because he had the authority to do that. Now, the cashier didn't have that authority. I didn't have that authority, although I think I could have had that authority, you know. But I didn't, but he did. And so when we go to begin to fulfill our call, we begin to step out in our mission and the plan and the purpose, walking into our destiny, understand you are going by the call of God and you are given the authority of the kingdom of God in your life. Jesus said, it's been given to me. Now you therefore go as I give it to you. So Jeremiah needed to hear and understand that. And then God stressed the fact that while you're going, Jeremiah, I will be with you. I will protect you. My presence will be there. When you and I walk our call out, when you and I begin to move forward, God's with us. The first part of that, no matter where I go, if I'm in heaven or in the grave, you're with me. If I go to the farthest ocean, you're with me. If wherever I go, your presence is with me, oh God. So we must understand as we fulfill this call and this vision that God is there to get with his presence to watch over us, to protect us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us get back on track if we fall off track. But his presence is there. The Bible says this, Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. Come on now. The Lord is on my side. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. Because the Lord is on my side as my helper. Because Isaiah 41 says that I shouldn't fear. I shouldn't be worried and anxious. Why? Because the Lord says that I am with you. And not only am I with you, but I'm going to strengthen you. And I'm going to give you help when needed. And then I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, so we must understand that the presence of God, wherever we go, is with us. You could never hide from God. You could never... What we do in the secret, God sees. A man may not see, but God knows what's going on behind the closed door. So understand the presence of God is all around at all times. And that's why I get excited knowing that on this journey that he's with me. God doesn't leave me. Do you know what happens? Here's what happens. We put God in the bottle, right? We carry him with us on all the good days. And then all of a sudden we're like, you know what? Let me just set you over here, God, for a little bit. I got some stuff I got to do. Oh, y'all been there before. Some of you laughing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. We put God there, but the reality, God is still here with us. It's just that we told God, take your hands off me. We told God, don't move and function and move in me. I'm gonna try this on my... When God's like, hey, I'm right here, all you need to do is call out. All you need to say, Lord, help. we go and he gives us authority and he, his presence is with us. And the third thing is that he showed Jeremiah is that when you go, Jeremiah, I will equip you for your specific call. Your specific call, Jeremiah, is you're going to be a talker. You're going to be a blabbermouth. You're going to need words. Now, you know how to speak the language, but you need to know how to speak my language. There's a difference between the English language and the language of God. Y'all with me? Right? There's two different, there's a big difference. And so God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, in this call, in this purpose, in this mission that I have you, that I'm sending you on, you need to know the right verbiage. You need to know the right sentences, the right words. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to equip you. So let me show you how I'm going to equip you. I saw the hand of the Lord touch my mouth. He had an object lesson. How powerful are object lessons? Pastor Scott loves object lessons. And I'll be honest with you, I do too. But I think about them like Saturday night. I don't think about them like Monday morning when I should be thinking about them. Because an object lesson has such power and depth to it, right? And so he shows the hand touching. And then he says, listen, I will give you and put the words in your mouth, Jeremiah. You don't even need to worry what you're going to say. Because when you begin to speak, the prophetic words that I want you to utter, they're going to come out. And they're going to be right because you're surrendering to me. Amen? And so God equips you and I. He will give you the talent that is needed. He'll give you the power, the strength, the words, whatever it may be, he will equip you for the call. Sometimes we try to put off the call because we're afraid we won't be able to get through because we're not ready or we don't have what's needed. Oh, you have what's needed. You have what's needed. And if you don't have what's needed, God will give you what's needed. He'll give you the tools. I love what the scripture says. Did anyone ever feel that way? You're not sure what to say when it comes to talking about God? The scripture says this. It says, don't worry how you'll respond. Don't worry what you're going to say. This is in Luke chapter 12, 11 and 12. It says, why should we worry? Because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. I love that. So when my jaws are flapping in the frozen food section, when my jaws are moving in the parking lot, at the right moment when God wants me to say something, he's going to give me the words to present to the person or people that I'm talking to. Why? It's not about me. It's about the cross. It's about getting that person or that group of people to the cross. That they would repent and turn from whatever they may be involved in and give their heart to Jesus, that they too may have a divine relationship with him and grow into becoming a disciple and then live their fullest life building and helping build the kingdom of God. And as a bonus, when we leave this place called earth, we spend eternity with him. So when I'm at that point, what comes out, if I don't know what I'm going to say, God will give it to me. He'll put it in there. He'll equip me. He'll give me what is needed. And I really think, as we're getting close to wrapping this up, is I really think it's important that we understand that as we're equipped, as we begin to move and flow and function and go to the point where we begin to fulfill this call, that we have a conviction of that authority. In other words, that we believe that God has given it to us, that we got to have some convictions in life. We have a conviction that God has given me and empowered me. You know, there's a strong belief. I'm going because I know that God has sent me. There's no questions asked. I don't care what you're saying. We allow non-spiritual, let me say it, non-spiritual, non-believing friends of ours to speak into our lives of what we should do and shouldn't do when the creator of the heavens and the earth has given us a call and a vision and we're listening to the words of man and not the words of God and the Holy Spirit. We got to stop. We got to get that conviction. Says, oh, no, 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 no. Shut the jaws real quick here. I need to tell you something. You may think I'm not called, but you need to understand I come in the authority of God. He birthed it to me in prayer. He revealed it to me. And I know that I am going where I got to go. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt. And I had this conviction that God's authority has released me to do what I have to do. That's the first thing. It's important. Because if you don't have that conviction, if you don't understand the authority that God has given you, you will fall. I have fallen before. I have fallen short. Why? Because I wavered, and I heard this person's opinion and that person's opinion and that person's opinion and two other people that wanted to chime in. And all of a sudden, I was a mess. I was being pulled in 32 different ways. Now, you want to tell me something? Someone wants to tell me something about God or something that I'm doing? No, sir. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because God has called me. I know my purpose. I know my plan. I don't see it in full, because if I see it in full, then we're in trouble, because I'm going to try to do it on my own. But he gives me glimpses that I have to rely on and believe in and trust in. So we got to have this conviction that I know that I know. That I know that I know. We have to have a consciousness of God's divine presence. We need to be awake and aware of God's presence in our lives. And he's all around us. We need to be awakened to that. God's presence just doesn't show up on Sunday mornings. God's presence just doesn't show up at the prayer meeting. God's presence is with us all the time. When you're at home, God's with you. When you're having dialogue with your teenager who knows everything, God is with you. And that's when you need to lean into the knowing that you have the authority of God in your life to say some things that they may or may not want to hear. But God's presence is with you. When you're on vacation, he's there. When you're on the mission field, he's there. When you're all alone, he's there. He's here right now. The presence of God is in this house. So we have to have this consciousness of his presence and then understand that communication is very important. And so we must understand that as we communicate, as we impart and we exchange of words and beliefs of the Bible, that God will give us the divine word to speak. It's important to know that when you begin to speak out, God will give you what to say. He'll share it with you. He'll empower you with it. Phil, you guys can come up. You have a plan and purpose. You have a mission. A destiny lays ahead of you. Let that just settle in for a second. Don't fight it anymore. Don't fight it anymore. Don't fight it anymore. Let me speak to the few people here this morning that in here and even watching online that you are saying right now, yeah, but. There's no more buts. But you don't know who I was. No, I don't need to know. God does. But as a new creation in Christ, that old man's dead. Again, we can't allow. That's why we need a transformation of our minds. Because the enemy, the one who kills, steals, and destroys, wants to bring that up every time that you need to step out. It's a vicious cycle. And I want to speak to those few that are in that cycle right now. It's a vicious cycle that you're spinning out of control. You know that you know that you know that you know what God has called you to do. You know the plan and the purpose. But you're stuck in a rut because you keep going backwards. 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 And God's like, today, I want to break that cycle. I want to break the cycle. You get out of the rut, you're good, you fall back in the rut. You have a divine purpose and a divine plan. Let us not fall back into I'm just going to be sensitive this morning, like every morning, but because it's a battle. It's a struggle. And if we're for doing it on her own strength, it's even worse. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works, and you know me completely. Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. We have to see ourselves like that. It's a battle. Battle of the mind is a very real and powerful thing. And the enemy uses it by bits of truth and by blatant lies of how you see yourself. First of all, you need to know you're worthy of the call of God in your life. You're more than worthy. Please understand that. You have to believe that. I'm worthy of this call. I've been set apart. I've been appointed and anointed. I've been formed in a particular way for such a time as this. Today we must break the cycle. Today we must have the renewing of the mind on a continual basis. I'm going to pray for you right now for that. I'm going to pray for the rest of the message today. If you don't know your task, let it begin today in prayer. Get a journal or an app on one of your devices specifically that you could write things that God reveals to you and shows you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of God's eye. You have to see yourself as the head, not the tail. You have to see yourself walking in victory, not defeat. You have to see the worth that you have as greater than the negativity of what people said you're not worth. You're beautiful. Someone needs to hear that you're beautiful. You're a good mother. You're a good mother, Mom. You're a good mother. Even though she said you're not, you are. It was said out of hurt and pain. You're a good mother. See yourself as a good mother. You're compassionate. You have worth. You're not useless. You are gifted. You are a good friend. You are a good friend. You are a good husband. You need to hear this today. You cannot let the past determine the future. Father, I pray right now for past hurts. Lord, I pray for past hurts. I pray for words that have been spoken, abuse that has taken place, physically, emotionally, sexually, that has marked and marred your beautiful creations here today. Father, I declare that this day there will be divine healing in those areas. Father, that the chains that have held them back, that have shackled them, that have kept them from their call, their purpose, their destiny, that today, as you declared, you have come to break the chains of those who are oppressed and depressed. In Luke chapter 4, you declared it. God, today is a day that the supernatural breaking takes place. Father, I declare healing and wholeness. Father, I declare that the mind would be set free of the negativity. The mind would be set free of the words of death that have been spoken. Father, Lord, I pray that this day, your family, your children will be made whole and complete. Father, I pray that we see the wealth that we have within us. I pray that we see the worth that you see us with. Father, I thank you that you've called us. I pray that, God, we see that you will equip us for the call and for the purpose. God, I thank you that your presence goes before us, that your presence goes behind us and surrounds us, that your hand of blessing and favor and guidance rests upon our heads this day. I thank you for that divine hand resting on us this day, God. Father, just as you called the prophet Jeremiah to be a mouthpiece, you called him to go forth and to do the work of the kingdom. God, we sit here today. We all have a call. Lord, just as you did what was needed for Jeremiah, God, I ask that you would do what is needed for us in our specific calls. Lord, whatever specifically is needed, you begin to release into our lives this day. And for those who do not know the specific call, God, I pray that in their quiet time, you begin to reveal bits and pieces of, God, what you have for them, where you want to send them, where you want them to go, what you want them to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and the presence of you in our lives all the time. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? I just have a couple quick announcements before we do the offering this morning. The first one is tomorrow night is our spring cleanup. We do it yearly. If anyone's interested in coming and help us fix up the grounds a little bit of the church, I'd love to have you come out. Bring a rake, gloves if you need gloves. I'll have the trash bags and everything. We got some tree limbs we got to trim. We got some, all the flower things will be fluffing and weeding and taking care of. So this place looks beautiful on the outside as much as it looks beautiful on the inside. And then afterwards, I just want to bless you with some food or whatever you guys want. And so that's tomorrow night. If you could see Lisa at the information center on the way out and just let her know that you're coming so we get an idea of who's coming. The cafe is open. I mentioned it last week. Our cafe is open every Sunday after service, the 10 o'clock service, not in between service, at 10 o'clock service. It'll be open till noon. If you want to stay and visit, we still ask the whole social distancing things. When you're back there, but it will be open following each week. And also, too, we're going to be opening both sets of doors on Sunday mornings. We have enough time in between to do what's needed, so both sets of doors, you can park on either side of the parking lot at this service as well. And so my last announcement is this, and I hope you mark your calendars. June 6th, Sunday, 8:15, 10 o'clock, 6:30 p.m., Pastor Dennis is going to be in town. Pastor Dennis Shears in town. He's got a message that is anointed. He's been sharing some stuff with me over the phone, and it's about the church. It's about you and I, the body, and what's happening in today's day and age of the watered-down gospel versions of things creeping in and how we as the church must stand up against it and allow the Holy Spirit to have true worship. It's going to be a really great day, both services, morning and night. And so if you can get on your calendar to get here, I encourage you to come and be a part of what's happening here. We would love to see you touched in a dynamic way. And so mark that down, June 6th, both services, the first two services, if you're at the 8:15 or the 10, they're the same message. The 6:30 one will be different, okay? So the morning message is the same. Well, it's the same, kind of, unless the Holy Spirit kind of takes you different directions. The 6:30 will be different. So why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Were you blessed this morning? Were you challenged? Were you blessed? Offering time. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessing of provision in our lives, in all dimensions, in all areas. Lord, we come now as a continued act of worship, acknowledging who you are and what you've done in our lives. Father, we follow the scriptures when it says to bring it into the storehouse, the first fruits. That's what we do. We bring it into the storehouse this day. Father, I pray a blessing upon our offering. Father, I pray that it would truly multiply, and that because of the blessing of the offering and the tithes and the alms, God, we continue to have the ability to impact our city and our region here in the cell towns, Lakeview, Hamburg, Derby, Evans, Orchard Park, Eden, North Collins, Blaisdell, that God, we can continue to impact with the kingdom, that we would truly be a beacon of hope, not us individually, but this place where they would come and meet with you. So thank you for the tithe and the offering this morning. Thank you for the blessing upon it and the favor upon it. We glorify you and we say thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap on our way out. I will see some of you tomorrow or during the week or next Sunday. God bless. If you do need prayer, the altars will be open for us to pray with you.